Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. Galloway Edition Extra Mile Podcast is a podcast for runners of all abilities who want to learn everything they can about the Galloway Run Walk Run training method, right from Jeff himself. This podcast will run walk you right through Jeff's 30-week marathon training schedule and gently get you to the finish line of your full marathon injury-free.
Hello and welcome to episode 4A of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. This is your host, Kevin. It is mid-May 2011, and I am out on my lunchtime run today with one question in mind. Where in the heck has my spring gone? Probably a silly question on several levels, because I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and just given the fact that I was running last week in temperatures in the high 80s, low 90s, and just a few short days later, I'm running in the low 40s to high 40s, that actually is nothing special or new to the weather in this town. So I may not like it, but I certainly should not be surprised by it. So tell me, how many of you are thinking right now, episode 4A? What's up with that? Well, let me explain, and it will become a little more clear in our discussion with Jeff today. One topic we're going to hit on with Jeff today is the topic of the Galloway training programs. As you will hear, the Galloway training programs are a series of programs in 90 plus cities now that allow you to join a group of like-minded individuals running your pace and to build real life community. Typically, these training programs will begin around this time and aim for a fall marathon. Some have a particular marathon in mind. Most will also help you train for a half marathon as well. But the idea is you show up at your allotted time and day. You are split into groups based on your pace and ratio, and you run your long runs together. And you also get to ask questions and learn all about this Galloway run, walk, run deal. Well, one day last week, Jeff happened to be here in town kicking off the Cincinnati version of that training program. Cincinnati has one of the oldest programs around. Very well run, very well respected, and very well attended. So Jeff jumped on an airplane, came to town, and spent the evening helping to kick off that program at a local Fleet Feet store here in town. Of course, there was no way I was going to let Jeff get into Cincinnati without stopping off and saying hello to him. And Jeff and I had this bright idea that I would show up and put a microphone on him, and we would tape that evening's festivities and post them in an episode. So hence the 4A and 4B episodes you'll soon be able to download. What you'll hear in episode 4B, which will be posted in a couple of days after this one, is that discussion at the kickoff. Jeff, first of all, speaks for a while, Jeff's a great speaker, not just on running topics, but he's very funny, and you'll get to hear that. Also, there's a fabulous question and answer period at the end. And for that reason, I didn't ask Jeff any questions during our conversation for today's episode, but you'll get a lot of them in episode 4B. So for those of you showing any interest at all in the training programs, you won't want to miss that episode 4B. It will give you a good idea of what to expect should you check out one of these kickoff meetings. So as for episode 4A, this episode roughly covers weeks 8, 9, 10, and 11 of Jeff's To Finish Marathon training program from the training programs book. And within that time period, you will have the opportunity to increase your long runs to about 10 and a half or 11 miles, as well as attempting your second magic mile. We'll talk about both of those with Jeff today. We'll also discuss in detail with Jeff a couple of drills that will help you along the way with your running form and efficiency. And as always, I've got some great phone calls from fellow listeners I'm going to put in today's show. So, let's get to the good stuff, huh? And you and I will chat again at the end. Enjoy your extra mile.
Kevin, Ken here. I'm a first-time caller, and I've really enjoyed their podcast so far and been using the Galloway walk-run method for a while now. I'm actually a new runner. I've only been running for about 9 months. But the exciting thing is that I just participated in my first half marathon in Wichita, Kansas, and finished it in 2 hours and 33 minutes. And so I'm real excited about that. I used the walk-run method throughout the race. Was actually started at 90-second, 45-second run-to-walk ratio for about the first half, maybe first 7 miles, and then kind of increased the ratio and was actually able to run about the last mile and a half. And also I was excited that I ran the last half of the event faster than the first half. And the other great part was the people that I passed towards the end that were way ahead of me at the beginning. So that was kind of fun, too. So anyway, I thought I'd give a call and just, if nothing else, encourage other people who might be thinking about it that you can do it. And the walk-run method definitely works. A couple other things that in June, I'm already scheduled to do another half marathon in Joplin, Missouri. And I'm going to be able to take a... I've already signed up to be in a running school that I believe Jeff is hosting a day or 2 days before that event. So maybe I can give a call back and give a report on how that went. The last thing is I have a question, and I'm just curious about this. I've raced in several 5Ks and a 10K, and now I've just finished this half marathon last week. It seems that when I'm in a race that I can run faster, I don't need the walk brakes as often. And I'm just wondering, is that normal? Is that just the normal process of being in a race and adrenaline rushing, or what necessarily causes that? And if any comments on that, that'd be great. Keep up the good work, and I'll try to call back soon. Thanks. Bye.
Hello, Jeff and Kevin. It's a beautiful Monday morning, 61 degrees, a great day for doing some running. And as all of us are practicing, by the way, this is Mike from Virginia Beach. I've called in a couple of times. I've committed to doing a marathon in the fall. I'm going to do the Richmond SunTrust Marathon in November. That's my plan. As we're all preparing for the long runs that we have ahead of us, many of us like to listen to some music, so I thought I'd throw something out there for everybody. And in addition to your comments about running and progress and all that, I want to develop a playlist for some running, and I thought maybe I could throw out a question to everybody. I know this was done on a previous episode of another podcast, but what's your top two songs for running? I would love to develop a playlist, and I thought maybe everybody, as you call in, you could throw up a couple of songs, and we could have a really good playlist, and maybe as we all run in the fall in our long runs, we'd all have a playlist with a lot of similar songs to it. Love to hear what you have to say. Keep in the calling, and happy running, everyone.
Hello, Kevin, and all the Extra Miles fun and faithful listeners and contributors. This is Carmen, and I'm from Sugar Grove, Illinois. I have been hooked on the cast for about 2 years now and shy for because of my accent of calling. I'm 55, female, transplanted to the U.S. from northern Spain, and I was a hiker in my early teens, and then I ran in the 20s and 30s, had kids, and started back about 5 years ago when my husband got bit by the bug. I trained with Jeff Galloway, and I know that some of you probably listened to the other podcast. That has been quite a revelation because I was training with a local coach and getting injured and feeling horrible about myself and inadequate, and Jeff has re-energized my love for running or my abilities, and now I feel that I can test my limits. I have taken the walk-run method, and it really bites my hidden competitive nature. Took a while to subjugate my ego, but I'm doing it. And I ran 2 marathons this year, St. George and Big Sur, and a couple of other half marathons. Lots of short races, and here I am. I finished Big Sur last May 2nd, the other day, and I took 29 minutes from my last marathon. It was a tough course with as many hills as miles, but I loved it all the way, and I felt in control. Then the next day, I was fine, a little tight in my quads. I give the credit to Jeff's method. And I'm now training for the 200-mile Ragnar Relay from Madison to Chicago and later down Berlin Marathon on September 25. I have a secret goal, and now it's not going to be so secret, is to knock another 15 minutes maybe out of my time, because I'm really out there for so long. So if I could run in 5 hours and 45 minutes, I would be so happy. But I'm terrified. I don't like urban marathons, and I don't know how to escape from that sense of claustrophobia of running in a city. So if anybody has some suggestions, I would appreciate that, because I always pick very hard marathons, but they are outdoor and beautiful, and I feel free and going back to my roots, I guess, to run outside. It's funny because to tie this with Kevin's question, I can run 26 miles in the middle of the winter because I live in the Chicago area, and I'm fine on the treadmill as long as I have a wide screen with a lot of exciting adventure movies or some of those survival programs that it makes me think that I'm there and that I'm one of them. And I can knock all those miles on the treadmill with no problem. Because I don't know, I feel that I can escape with my imagination. However, the city it runs and the buildings really frighten me. So I would welcome some advice. And that's all. I think I probably overextended myself. That's what I didn't want to call, and I overcame my shyness. And thank you all for all your wonderful contributions that keep me going through the summer and the very, very long training runs that Jeff Galloway puts on my schedule. Thank you, and I hope to hear from you, and see you soon. Bye-bye.
And let's head over to the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition Hotline, where we've got, once again, a very special guest, Jeff Galloway. How you doing today, Jeff?
Kevin, I'm doing great. I've already gotten in my morning run, and I'm looking forward to my afternoon run on my trip to Baltimore today.
You're running twice a day?
Well, when I can. In this case, I did have most of the morning free for emails and running, so got in a nice run.
Perfect. Well, listen, the last time we spoke, it was in late April, and I remember one thing that you had on the calendar very shortly after our talk was Big Sur. How'd that one go?
It was fantastic. This year they had a cave-in on US 1, the beautiful coastal route where we usually run. And therefore, the course was changed. Instead of being a point-to-point, we started at the finish line, went out approximately 13 miles, turned around, and came back. And even though it was a little more hilly this year, that coastline is so spectacular, you just kept looking for the next turn around the bend to see what the scenery was like. It was wonderful.
Well, good. So no issues. They weren't able to cut out all the hills, though, were they?
No, it was actually about 700 additional feet of elevation gain on the new course. But, you know, if you put in enough walk breaks, you take the sting out of the hills.
And while we're talking about Big Sur, I just want to mention to you an email that I got right before I walked down here. There was a gal by the name of Carmen who I guess is e-coaching with you. She just called into the show. I'm going to put it in the show, one of her comments. But in her email, very interesting comment I wanted to make sure that I read for you. It says, "Jeff sat with me the day before the race for a couple of wine glasses. And just with a few words, he put my mind where it had to be. Brought my goal to a realistic realm." And she just had an amazing time and credits you with all of that. So you're not just a coffee drinker, you're a wine drinker as well, huh?
Well, I don't go overboard, and I will say they were two small glasses of wine that we had, very small. But there's a place for wine. It's all about moderation.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, what's really neat about the Big Sur weekend is there are a whole lot of folks that you meet throughout the weekend, different places, and you sit down over coffee or a glass of wine, and you philosophize, and you talk about what running is like for you. It's really a wonderful experience.
Well, Carmen's a big fan of yours, and she attributes you for helping her get through the Big Sur in a big way.
She's really made some great progress.
Also, between our last talk and now, I know for a fact that you visited Cincinnati, Ohio for a training program kickoff as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you and I got to touch base there, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. But here, I got a question for you. What do the following cities have in common? Baltimore, Jacksonville, Lakeland, Florida, Pittsburgh, Sarasota, St. Augustine, Orlando, Tampa, and D.C.?
Those are places where Galloway programs are kicking off this month.
And you are visiting every one of those cities?
Every one of them.
Oh, my gosh. You're going to be on a plane most of the month, huh?
It's a lot of frequent flyer miles.
We'll talk about the Galloway training programs in just a bit. So what's coming up? What's your next, besides all this travel to the kickoffs, you got another marathon coming up?
Yes, actually, this weekend is a half marathon. I'm going to the Pittsburgh Marathon and Half, and I'll be running the half marathon, plus giving a lot of clinics throughout the weekend and meeting and greeting folks at the Disney booth and our booth there and solving problems. I love race weekends.
And just so everybody realizes how they can figure out or know in advance where you're going to be, how do we figure that out, Jeff?
It's a good question. Some of the races provide us with a Galloway booth. However, in most cases, I will be either at the Mizuno booth or the Run Disney booth. And usually if you go to the information booth, they will tell you where I'll be.
And you do publish that like in your newsletter, do you not, where you're going to be, what the upcoming spots are?
We try. Occasionally, there's so many of these visits that occasionally we'll miss one, but almost every one of them each year is there at jeffgalloway.com.
We've got a lot to talk about today, but I did want to ask you one quick selfish moment question had on my mind every time we talk about you running a marathon, and I know you run them all. I think you run them all with your wife Barbara. When you guys do that, do you have any sort of time goal in mind, or you passed all of that? You guys just go out and have fun.
Well, Barbara usually has a time goal, and I don't. I just want to run with her, and I want to cross that finish line.
Right.
And recently, in the last 3-4 years, our time goal has been to be somewhere around 5 hours. And I secretly think that Barbara likes to go below 5 hours, but I just go with her, you know?
Right. That's wise advice for life right there, Jeff. Just go with whatever your wife's doing.
I'll tell you, that's why we've been married for 35 years.
All right, let's get into the episode. This episode covers weeks 8 through 11. And within that time period, we've got our second Magic Mile. We've also got long runs of 9 and 10.5 miles. So our long runs are getting up there to a very, very respectable level. The last time we spoke, we did go in pretty much detail about the Magic Mile. So now we're doing our second one. I'd like to know, is there anything different about how we should attack this second one from our first one?
The first one, as we mentioned before, should always be very gentle. And if there's any huffing and puffing, it would only be during the last lap or so, and there should be no sprinting whatsoever. Starting with the second one, the main goal is to simply run faster than you did previously. So look at that time that you ran on the first one, divide the time by 4, and that'll tell you what a quarter of a mile is. It helps to run around the track because then you can target each lap for a time that's faster than that 1/4 of the total previously. For example, if you ran 10 minutes on the first one, that is 2 minutes and 30 seconds per quarter mile. So each lap, you want to run faster than 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
And what about the pacing of that? Do you like to tell your students to hold back a little on the first and pick up each one, or?
Well, assuming that first one was run comfortably, and in this case that it was 10 minutes, a 2-minute 30-second lap should be conservative. And if it's not, for any reason, then the person should slow down on that very first lap to make sure that you feel good, and that means that you'll tend to be strong in the last lap.
So generally speaking, are we looking for, you know, just a few seconds of improvement, 5, 10, or major improvement, or what?
I would say on the first lap, just go for 1 to 3 seconds faster than you averaged in the first one. And the second lap, about the same, 1 to 3 seconds faster. On the third one, if you're feeling good, it could be more like 5 seconds faster. And then on the last one, you don't want to sprint, but you could go 5 seconds or a little more than that faster than you averaged per lap on the first Magic Mile.
Is there any reason for concern at all, and this is only our second one, but is there any reason for concern if we don't show improvement?
There's no reason, because there are a lot of variables on any given day why one would run faster or slower. Metabolism, heat, weather, other weather conditions. But all of that said, most people who start the pace conservatively enough on their Magic Mile end up improving on most of the Magic Miles.
So after we run the second one, let's say we improve by, whatever, 10 seconds or so, what do we do with that data? Do we then take that and plug it back into our formula and start running our long runs and at a different pace or ratio?
Well, you can certainly get the first glimpse into the future and see what your potential is by using the formula that is in Galloway Training Programs and some of my other books. However, most of the individuals that I've tracked tend to keep improving through 3 to 4 of these Magic Miles in succession. So don't count on this as being your fastest Magic Mile, because you'll probably run significantly faster as the season goes on.
Great. And just a reminder that the Magic Mile is on the data for that is on page 12 of the Training Programs book, as well as I posted in episode 3 in the show notes that Run Disney video where Jeff talks pretty specifically about that. So if you're still any questions about that, either send them to us and we'll talk about it a little more. Send me an email and we'll talk about it, or shoot over to the website and get those show notes and watch the video. The other thing that we're doing is increasing our long runs to 9 and 10.5 miles. Are there any caveats as we slowly increase our distances for these long runs?
Well, Kevin, I've already heard from quite a few of my e-coach clients during the last 2 weeks about hot days.
Yeah.
Suddenly, a lot of areas of the country are moving from spring or even winter into summer suddenly. And as a result, the temperatures are quickly rising during a long run well above 60 degrees, 70, 75, 80, 85. One e-coach client ran in 90-degree temperatures last week. So you just have to use the formula of slow down, 30 seconds a mile slower for every 5 degrees above 60. That's crucial on long runs, because if you don't do that, you really can get into some heat issues, and I'm against death. I don't want that to happen. But seriously, the adversity is for the most part avoidable if you'll just simply make those slowdowns.
And it always keeps coming back to me, Jeff. One of the aha moments that I had during our experiment was you always said that you cannot go too slow in your long runs. So, I mean, anybody who thinks that
right.
They don't want to slow down for these because it's too hot and for some reason they think, you know, they're not getting as good a training, that's just absolutely not true.
Well, most of the Kenyans that I've talked to run between 3 and 4 minutes per mile slower than they run in marathons. So it's good enough for the Kenyans.
Good enough, that's right. All right, let's head over to a couple of other topics I wanted to hit today. And the first one is running form. One of the first things I notice when I start running longer distances is that my form can tend to suffer. How important is your form, you know, particularly during a long run? And if I just plod along looking very silly when I run, does it really matter?
In general, it doesn't matter unless you're getting aches and pains. And there are a few aches and pains that I hear about every month that are directly related to form once I've identified that, and particularly when I've been able to watch people run. Now, that said, the body tends to adapt to more efficient running when we run longer. The problem occurs when we get fatigued, and at that point we get sloppy. And sloppiness means that you could be wobbling a little more from side to side. You might be leaning forward, which is a common mistake that people make at the end when they get tired. And that will, those two things by themselves, produce most of the form-related adversity and aches and pains that occur. So the idea is to target aches and pains that could be related to form, and then adjusting your stride length at the end to make sure that it's short enough so that you don't overextend the leg muscles and you don't have that forward lean.
There's a whole chapter in the training programs book on running form that you need to check out. It begins on page 145. And within that chapter, Jeff, actually I think it's on page 147, there's a drill that you call the cadence drills.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what they are and why we should use them?
That one drill has helped more people that I've worked with improve their running efficiency more than any other single component in training. It's a very simple drill. It's done usually on a Tuesday or Thursday or both days in the middle of a short run. And you time yourself for 30 seconds. Our run-walk-run timer, our Galloway run-walk-run timer, is wonderful for this because you don't have to look at your watch. You simply set it for 30 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and you push the button and it will beep to you so that you count for 30 seconds until it beeps again, and then take a 30-second break, do it again. Second time, you want to increase the count by one or two. Go through a series of 4 to 8 of these in repetition, and try to keep increasing by one additional count. There will come a time, especially if you do eight, when you reach a plateau and you won't be able to increase the count without significantly changing your stride and becoming more choppy, which you shouldn't do. You want to be smooth the whole time.
Right.
But up until that point, the increase in the number of counts forces your creative and intuitive right brain to figure out how to make you more efficient. And if you do it once a week, and it is important to do it every week, you're going to see improvement by the end of a six-month period and ongoing.
There is also a very nifty video that you put out for the Run Disney people on that topic as well. And I'm going to put the link in the show notes so you can actually watch Jeff running down, I don't know, it looks like Main Street or something down there in Disney World. Do you remember shooting that video or those videos?
You know, we shot that one several times. I believe it is on the set over in the Hollywood Studios.
Oh, okay.
But we did shoot it in two different locations. I can't remember which location is on the website.
It looks nice. It looks like you have the park to yourself.
Well, we got out there early because they turn on the music at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
It gets hard to do the audio.
The other drill that I know you're big on is something called acceleration gliders.
Yes.
Explain those to us as well, please.
Well, to recoup here, with the cadence drill, you're just simply working on turnover rate and running efficiency. You're not trying to increase speed. Now, you might find a little speed increase as you go through it, but that's not the mission. The mission of the acceleration glider is to increase your speed. You're not going to try to sprint, but you're going to develop each component of running faster. So here's how the drill's done. You jog slowly for about 10 steps just to warm the body up. Then you increase the pace slightly up to for about 10 steps. That would bring you up to a normal running pace on an average short day. Then over the next 30 steps, you do your acceleration. This is a gradual increase in speed, and it will get you up to a pace that is not all out, but it, for you on a normal basis, it's a fairly fast pace, like a runner would use in a 5K race. But it's not a sprint because you can't sprint for 5K.
Right.
So anyway, you've got this good speed going after 30 steps. Then comes the fun part. You glide. You let your momentum carry you as far as it goes, and most people at the beginning will only glide for about 15 to 20 steps. But once you get your technique down, you can glide for 30, 40, 50, 60 steps. And the secret is to use both of these drills to empower that creative, intuitive right brain to figure out how to let you use momentum without hardly any effort. If you do 4 to 8 of these acceleration gliders once a week, you will develop the capacity to glide and then intuitively be able to use it in races, on long runs, on regular runs. And this accomplishes a similar effect as the walk break does, only you're doing this in the act of running. So you're saving resources during your running portion by using the acceleration glider.
Interesting. That appears on page 115 of the training programs book, by the way. And there's a video on the Run Disney site as well, so we'll put that one up for you people who would like to watch Jeff do these acceleration gliders as well.
Yeah, the acceleration glider is also a form of speed work that is called fartlek, meaning speed play. And there are a number of people that I've worked with who don't do any other form of speed work than simply several acceleration gliders that they tie together, 3, 4, 5 of them in a row. And it allows you to move up to a pace but not hold it too long, to glide, to go back down into a little jog for a few steps and then build right back up again. And by going back and forth into those various modes of running, you prepare yourself to do the same thing when you get into a race or a hard workout.
Great. The last topic for our conversation today, we touched a little bit upon at the beginning, and I want to talk a little bit about these Galloway training programs that you've got now in, I think I read last, in some 90 cities and 30-some, yeah, 90 cities maybe, right?
Yeah, it's really a wonderful thing for me to be able to travel to these. In some cases, I can run with our folks. In other cases, we just sit around and talk and solve problems and really enjoy the camaraderie that develops.
What exactly is a Galloway training program?
Well, when I discovered at the age of 13 that what really was the highlight of my day was going out and running with my group, my friends.
Uh-huh.
From that point on, it changed my life, and I actively sought out ways to bring people together, to help them stay motivated, to form new friendships. And then in the process of a training program, you can pull one another along and allow the motivation to flow that would not flow as well if you were trying to do it yourself. There's a chemistry that goes on in a running group. It's a good chemistry of personalities, and it makes running fun. It's very similar to the teamwork that goes on in any sport, only it's really applied to running. The true benefit when people are increasing their long ones, in a lot of cases longer than they've ever run in their lives, is threefold. First, the pace group leaders will hold the pace down to a very conservative pace and install the walk brakes. So the individual doesn't even have to think. And all of the pacing is sorted out by our magic mile. So it's a system, and the person is put into a safe group, and then the pace group leader keeps the pace nice and comfortable.
So are these for just for marathons now, or other distances as well?
We have a getting started program in some cities. Probably about one-fourth of our cities have a getting started program in addition to a marathon and or a half marathon training program. And finally, a few cities have a 5K, 10K program.
Nice. From your perspective, after visiting so many of these and seeing so many people who've gone through it, who's the target audience? Is it somebody who, I mean, do I need to know how to run so fast? Am I a complete beginner? Do I need to know a little bit about the run, walk, run?
We take people off the couch. We also take people who have tried to qualify for Boston and were unsuccessful, and then through our program, they end up, a lot of them, qualifying for Boston. So it's a range of ability levels, and that's the beauty of having these different pace groups, because by using the magic mile, we can clump people together that in homogeneous running levels so that they stay with their peers and that no one has to be overextending what they're doing.
I would envision a lot of people coming back, just you know, meeting a lot of friends and then just becoming part of the crowd and coming back year after year for these.
We have a very, very high retention rate in our programs.
Very cool. Well, you and I, as we mentioned earlier, met in Cincinnati last Wednesday, I believe it was, when you were here to kick off the Cincinnati Galloway training program. And we did something interesting. I ended up putting a microphone on you for that deal, and we recorded the entire conversation at the beginning of that. And it's a great opportunity. It's the first one of those I've ever been to. And what I was impressed with is it's such a great opportunity for, number one, for them to get some one-on-one time with you because you're there early. Like, and I think you did run with the people in Cincinnati here, didn't you?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah, and so when I came in, there was a long list of or line of people talking with you. You're answering questions one-on-one with these people, autographs, pictures, and then you gave a talk, and then there was a wide-open Q&A for as long as the people wanted to talk that night. It was amazing.
we solved a lot of problems there, and your contribution to this is immense, because I don't know that there has ever been one of these that's been both recorded and then available, which you will make available at some point so that people can dial in.
Yeah, absolutely. I tell you what we're going to do. You brought up the idea while we were talking that night, and also a couple days ago in an email, to take that recording and make it its own episode of this podcast. So what I'm going to do is edit a little bit of that down, and then within the next couple of days, this is episode number 4. I think I'm going to call this like 4A, and then we'll put in a 4B because they are related. That will just be your kickoff talk that night and the Q&A session after it. So those people who want a little bit more of a flavor what they can expect for the Galloway training program can certainly download that show, take it on a run with them, and you'll solve all their problems while they're out on the run, I'm sure.
Well, thanks to your technical advice and ability to do this. This is such a great contribution.
It's a lot of fun. Well, listen, before I let you go, I mentioned before that most of our listeners do download this show and take us along on their runs and listen to this episode while they're running. So, but I see where you've released a similar item, a new training guide for a couple of new training guides, I think, through Motion Tracks. What are those deals?
Yes. The Motion Tracks folks record music in coordination with walk breaks, and I also recorded some tips, you know, that sort of lighten it up and also provide some advice on how to run and all that sort of stuff. There are 4 that I believe are currently up there. One of
yes.
them, 30-30, 1-1, and those are free. And then there's some longer ones, 2-1, 3-1, that I believe have just gone up, and those have a small charge to them. There's also, I believe, that we have talked about the Galloway Ultimate 5K app. Now that goes a step farther. Not only is there music in the background to keep things upbeat, but I actually have coordinated workouts on this program, this app, that talk you through each workout in my voice. So it's not just a run with music. It's a run with music with here's the workout, here's what we're going to do, let's do it. And so they're different products, but people love them.
Well, while we're on the topic of the iPhone app that you were just talking about, I did want to pass along to you that I've gotten quite a few emails and a lot of postings on our Facebook page that have asked when you're going to do the larger distances than the 5K in that. So there's a pretty pent-up demand for that. And I know it sounds like you've just been sitting around with your feet up on the couch here, so sometime when you find a little extra time, just so you know, I think there's a lot of demand for that too.
Well, actually, the 10K app just went up a few days ago, so there's
good.
A 5K and a 10K app in the coaching through those two events. The half and the full are going to take a little bit longer. It looks
sure.
like they're going to take going into the fall.
Okay, great. Something to look forward to. I will list a link in the show notes to the Motion Tracks website where you can see the 4 that Jeff's talking about so far this afternoon during this episode. And that about does it. Next episode, Jeff, I see we've got teed up. We've got another magic mile within the next episode. Our long runs are now getting to 12 and 14 miles. That's some serious stuff. And we're also going to miss
point.
Yeah. You're right, midpoint. Some of us will be doing 28 miles anyway, won't we, for a marathon
That's right.
distance. Yeah.
That's right.
And we're also going to discuss a really important topic of motivation, and I'm getting a lot of questions about hill training, so I'd like to tee those two topics up as well.
Sounds great. I look forward to it, and I really look forward to working with you, Kevin.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate your time today, and you've got a lot of traveling coming up, so safe travels.
Thank you so much. Look forward to talking later.
Okay, Jeff. Take care.
Bye.
Well, there you go. Episode 4A of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition. So, long runs of 9 and 10 and a half. We're getting serious now, huh? Seems like it was just yesterday we started this program. with regard to those long runs, please remember you should take the heat into account. That is so important. I know it's not very hot today in a lot of cities, but if you would like to see what very well could happen should you choose to ignore Jeff's advice on adjusting for the heat, I would recommend you go back and listen to the Extra Mile Podcast Experiment, episode 9, I believe, where you will hear about a complete doofus who decides he doesn't need to adjust for the heat during a marathon. And although I don't want to spoil it for you, the three letters that come to mind are DNF. So check that out. Adjust for the heat. And remember what Jeff says about your pace. You cannot run too slow on a long run. It's not about going out there fast or even at race pace. So make those adjustments. Do your second magic mile. Take the results. Adjust your pace and ratio based on your second magic mile. And above all, enjoy your long runs. We had some great submissions this episode that I didn't want to pass up. First, the one from Ken that you all heard. And Ken asked a great question today about not needing as many walking breaks during a race. And first of all, I would say you're absolutely right, Ken. Adrenaline does some amazing things for you during a race. And although, in my opinion, adrenaline is a great thing, it probably can't do a heck of a lot of damage during a 5K, but it absolutely can hurt during longer races, the half and full. And although I did not ask Jeff this question, I did approach this topic in our last gig, the experiment. And I can tell you that Jeff would say absolutely to go out at your prescribed pace, maybe even a little slower. Keep some in reserve. Do not fatigue the muscles. And then late in the race, that's where your training pays off. That's where your walk breaks pay off. At the 22, 23 mile mark of your marathon, when you're feeling good and those around you are not, that is typically when you will notice those people who have trained with the run, walk, run passing others. Jeff would say, if you feel good, completely do away with your walk breaks or skip them. That having been said, I would urge you to wait until we get further along in these episodes, because I will discuss that with Jeff again, just not until we get closer to race day. Mike has a great topic. Mike wants to know what your two favorite songs are from your playlist, and we have discussed that in the past, but it's a great topic. We have a lot of new listeners, so let's tee that one up. What are the two favorite songs on your playlist right now? And asked a different way, for those of you who run with the Nike Plus, what's your power song, huh? Although I don't run with a Nike Plus, I do have a power song.
Between a boy and man, she was 17 and she was far from in between. It was summertime in northern Michigan.
If that song doesn't make you pick up your pace, you may want to stop and check for a pulse. I had one other really great submission at the comment line from Shannon that I wanted to play and discuss a little bit. So here's Shannon.
Hi, Jeff and Kevin. Totally excited about the podcast. Can't wait to listen to episode 3, which just came down today, although I didn't have time to listen. I've been running consistently since 2008, although I took this winter off and I'm getting back into it. And I had a question about the walk-run ratio on the long runs. If 1-to-1 is just a ratio, like if I could run 2 minutes and walk 2 minutes, or run 5 minutes and walk 5 minutes, if that would be equivalent to walking 1 and running 1 minute. So slow and building up my speed. So thanks, I appreciate it, and keep up the excellent work. I'm so excited. Take care.
A great call from Shannon. Thank you very much, Shannon. Shannon's question is a very good one, and I get it a lot. I did ask that one again of Jeff in the first go-around, and I can tell you that although a 1-1 and a 30-30 are certainly the same ratio and completely acceptable in Jeff's eyes, Jeff does not see any instance where it behooves you to take more than a 1 minute walk break. Jeff's data suggests that after the 1 minute, you start hitting the law of diminishing returns, and any gains you might have are overshadowed by other factors. So he typically does not recommend anything longer than a 1 minute walk break. That brings me to another topic I wanted to hit on just very briefly. You recall from the last episode that I mentioned an online training program that I'm a part of by the name of the Daily Mile. Once again, that's a free training journal, very Facebook-like, and you're certainly welcome to come over there and ask me to be your friend. I have a rather weird handle over there. It's Runner6731. Long story, but if you search for me under Runner6731, I would be glad to follow your training. Anyway, I'm getting a lot of questions from people who have checked out my training on that website, because most of my runs these days have walk breaks in them. Certainly my longer runs during the week, which are 6 to 7.5 miles, I do put walk breaks in. And it's gotten a lot of questions because I typically will do a 6-1 ratio. And so I get a lot of questions on where I came up with a 6-1 ratio when I think actually the book only goes up to a 4-1. Well, I've had different discussions with Jeff on this, kind of offline, just while the two of us are talking. And you can tell from today's episode, Jeff does a lot of running. He does way more than just, you know, 3-4 days a week. He doubles up many times. And I've asked him that question. First of all, Jeff adds walk breaks to virtually every time he goes out the door these days. And he adds them based on how he feels. So that's pretty much what I do. I could run a 6 or 7 mile run without inserting walk breaks. But because my mileage has been up there, at least for me, in the 30 to 40 mile a week range, I feel like, number one, the walk breaks help me recover a lot faster. And they certainly help me to stay injury free. So based on how I feel that day, I may add a 5-1 or a 6-1 ratio to my run. And it just seems to work for me. While I am training, I do the exact ratio and pace that my magic mile suggests. I don't play with that at all. I have included in today's show notes the links to the Run Disney website, where Jeff has got a few videos, and you can see him discuss the drills that we talk about in today's show. Make sure you check those out. And make sure you get over to Facebook check us out over there too. We gave away quite a bit of free merchandise again this week. Gave away some more Gym Boss interval timers. Gave away a couple of very cool spy belts to some friends over there at Facebook. And I've got more. So get over there and like us and check it out. I would like nothing more than to send you some freebie stuff. In fact, let's do this. Have you guys checked out these amazing Gabby bars yet? I spoke about them in our first episode. You can check them out at gabbybars.com. I'll put that link in the show notes. Gabby makes these amazingly healthy and tasty energy bars right in her own kitchen, made to order, of 100% organic ingredients. You can also order a vegan version of those. They come in peanut butter or chocolate. And if you so choose and leave her a note on your order, she'll split that order up and send you half and half if you like. So let's do this. Between now and the next episode, if you get over to gabbybars.com and place your order, mention this podcast in the notes of your order, I will pick a random listener for a brand new spy belt, and we'll shoot that off to you immediately. Don't miss episode 5 of this podcast, due out in about 3 weeks, where we will cover weeks 12 through 15 of Jeff's marathon program, discussing topics like speed work, hill training, and for those of you who are parents in the audience, we're going to discuss an incredibly important topic of how to keep your kids fit in today's world. I don't think you'll want to miss that. Check out today's show notes over at thegallowayextramile.com for links to all the important things we spoke about, and also the listener comment line where I'd love to hear from you. That number is area code 206-339-8471. And thanks a lot for downloading the show, taking us with you. And until next episode, you'll enjoy your extra mile.
Thanks for joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. If you'd like to send us your audio comments to let us know how your run, walk, run marathon training is going, please send an audio file to thegallowayextramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition.
Walk break.
Back, Daddy.